Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Jason Bond on the line. He is managing partner over at Boole Microcap Fund LP. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jason. So I'm getting excited. I don't know about you. Atlantic City next week, Microcap Conference. Are you excited?
Super excited. There's going to be a lot of fascinating presentations, companies, investors, people. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I was like, I've been doing these interviews and for, you know, I think the last week or so, we've been bringing on different speakers, different sponsors, just individuals in the Microcap Conference network and sphere. And I'm telling you, everybody keeps talking about poker and this and that. And I'm like, oh, great. A bunch of finance guys out there that want to start, you know, having some fun. Of course, we're going to work. We're going to do a lot of productive things. But I saw the other things on there too. And I'm like, man, this is going to be an interesting meetup. I feel like a melding of minds. Can we say that?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. The poker will be fun.
So today's topic, and for all the, you know, investors out there, all the entrepreneurs otherwise. So we brought Jason on the line to really give us some insight into cognitive bias and cognitive biases. So maybe let's just start with maybe just kind of defining that for the audience for us, Jason.
Yeah, sure. You know, there are two systems that we use, two mental systems. We have system one and system two. System one is pretty much instinct and intuition, and system two is logic, math, statistics, and getting this from Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow. And the system one, the instinctual system, it makes decisions based on heuristics. These are just like simple shortcuts, rules of thumb. And in the past, when we lived, you know, in the jungle, they worked very well because simple cause and effect could be applied to most things that were happening. But in today's world where we have areas of randomness, especially including something like investing, these simple rules of thumb cause us to make systematic errors. And these systematic errors are cognitive biases.
Mm. And so this falls, would you say this falls kind of into the realm of behavioral finance? Is that kind of all within that part of study, if you will?
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because I can think back, and for my long-term listeners, they know this. So I was an advisor in finance for almost 14 years. And I can remember there used to be a presentation that I would do, and I'm not going to give years or anything like that because I don't need emails from whoever's listening telling me, no, Adam, it wasn't that year. Okay, fine. I'm going to give you the high level. I remember I used to do this presentation for our investors and, you know, and just, you know, prospective investors and whatnot. And we'd be talking about behavioral finance, and there were some like things that you could do at this time period, like just ask, like, how was the market last year? How was this? And some of the responses you get that were complete opposite in the room based on what had actually happened in the market or during a particular time period. And it just started to think about like biases and this idea of how our brain processes versus reality. Like, am I off on this and some of this stuff, or?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, the brain can not only change its views, but it can change based upon what happened. I mean, if we thought one thing was going to happen and it happened, then we think, oh yeah, I thought that was going to happen, even though we weren't sure before it actually happened. Similarly, if something that we expected doesn't happen, we then say, hey, oh, that it was always unlikely. But that's hindsight bias. The brain actually changes its own memories based upon what happens. So it's fascinating.
What kind of are there different kind of biases? Like, what kind of biases are there out there that you know?
Yeah, so there are close to 200 cognitive biases. It's been a fascinating area of research. Because as you know, Adam, for the longest time in traditional economics, it was thought that the agent was, you know, it was assumed that human beings were fully rational. But, you know, but
how did they get away with that one for so long? Yeah, like, real, Jason, how did they get away with that one for so long? Who's writing this stuff? Go ahead. I can't.
I know that's a great question, but von Neumann and Morgenstern, they came up with the rules for rational choice. And it was such an elegant deduction that economists just loved it. And then there's lots of areas where even though there's individual irrationality, the whole system, the system on the whole can be rational. even the stock market, you know, most stock prices most of the time are actually accurate, even though most investors are not fully rational. So I think those are a couple of reasons why it stayed that way for so long.
Mm. So go a little bit further, Jen. I'm not, obviously, this is a, 20-minute podcast episode. We're not going through all 200, but the ones that stick out to you, or one, or however you'd like to kind of approach this. But I want to connect this to the investors out there, and how they should be thinking about this.
Yeah. So by far the most important cognitive bias for investors is overconfidence. Mm-hmm. And overconfidence is fascinating. I mean, people have fun with this.
Hey, that's because, for young entrepreneurs too, by the way. The number one bias is you're going to be a billionaire in a couple of years. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Number one.
So as you know, Adam, people are wildly overconfident. I mean, let me just give you a couple of statistics. 19% of Americans think they belong to the richest 1% of U.S. households. 65% of people think their intelligence is above average. When high school seniors were asked about their ability to get along with others, 99% rated themselves as above average. 25% said they're in the top 1%. 87% of Stanford MBA students rated their academic performance as above the median. 86% of Harvard MBA students said they were better looking than their classmates. So the list just goes on and on.
No surprise on that one. It's fine. Okay, go ahead. I had to pick on
that. Say that again. What'd you say?
I said, no surprise on that one. Had to pick on Harvard a little bit. Yeah, of course they said that. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So as you know, a little bit of overconfidence in most areas of human life is actually a good thing. You don't want to go into an athletic contest unless you've got some belief that you may be able to win. But in some areas, especially where there's randomness or luck, and that certainly is the case in investing, overconfidence will kill you. Investing is a zero-sum game. And so for every investor who beats the market, another one trails the market. But that's before costs. Once you factor in costs, 70% of active investors are trailing the market. So it's really important in investing to have a realistic appraisal of your abilities, especially relative to other investors. And there's nothing at all wrong with buying an index fund.
I'm on the same page on this one. And I think that this is something that we don't talk about enough. So a lot of times I feel like, this was one of my favorite topics when I was an advisor, because I feel like many times, the average investor, and maybe I shouldn't say average, but just many investors, however we want to say it, right? They're strictly looking at their, the investment themselves. And very few times do I find many looking at the track record of the decisions they make behind the investments. Because sometimes the decisions behind these aren't necessarily always the best. And it has to do with, I'm guessing, some of these other biases that we're not going to go through too many of them today, but just in general, through these biases, because I could see, and I remember in my career looking at this happen and being like, and understanding it. And it's like, man, there's just some gaps here. Investors are, and I'm not asking you to prescribe and definitely not to give any investment advice. So I'll do the disclaimer for you. Anybody that's listening, we're not giving individual investment advice. Go see your advisor, go see, whoever you need to see on that. But speaking high level, Jason, now that, some of my listeners are listening to this and they're saying, these cognitive biases, I want to know more. Is this holding, is this affecting me? Like, what do people do with this information?
Are you asking how people can learn about cognitive biases?
Yeah, what do they do with it? Like, where would you go with that? So if you were listening to this right now and you're just starting to get into this thought process around it, like what about cognitive bias? And you're like, I've heard about this behavior science thing. I've heard of other, like where would you go with that? And I don't mean like where they invest, but like, where would you go with that information? How would you, if you were curious, get more info?
Right. There's some different sources that are really good. I think the best really high level source for learning about cognitive bias is going to be Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, which came out in 2011. This is just based on a lifetime of research into human irrationality. And there's just no better book out there when you want to understand the limitations and the strengths of your own cognitive apparatus. In addition to that book, there's a few other really good books. Peter Bernstein, Against the Gods, is a good book. And also Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini is a good one. And then, actually, I forgot to mention, but I should have said right up there with Kahneman's book is Charlie Munger's 25 Causes of Human Misjudgment.
Mm.
Just an outstanding book. I mentioned the 200 cognitive biases, but if you want, you know, the 24, 25 most important, I think Munger's a great place to go for that.
Mm. That's good info. That's good info. I feel like there's going to be some people rewinding this one to take notes, which I suggest you do. And that Munger one does sound interesting. I might have to pick up that one myself. I haven't heard of that particular one. And if you want to do get a good insight, we're all going to miss Charlie. Like that was what a pillar in the community, right? Like just what a legacy, I think early in my career, I remember some of the first things I listened to was like, or watched, I said, read, I forget, I'm going way back now. We've not watched, read or heard. It was read, was the report that Buffett would put out. And when I was just getting into finance to get a taste for their relationship and what they were doing in the industry. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm.
Yeah, his legacy is absolutely, I mean, both Buffett and Munger, tremendous. And they've both been so incredibly generous with their wisdom. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're helping other people perform better, and that ultimately lowers their performance, but they're still willing to help. So amazing.
So a Bull Microcap Fund, are you going to be maybe talking about, give a little bit of a insight into what I can expect? Are you speaking at the microcap? Are you involved? Like how am I going to learn more when I get there? Other than us, you know, meeting up, maybe playing some poker or something. I don't know.
I am going to be speaking there. And I'm speaking about cognitive bias. So it should be, it should be a fun time. If people want to learn more about my fund, you can go to boolefund.com. That's www.boolefund.com.
Fantastic. Well, Jason, really appreciate you coming on the show today and really just giving us a little bit of your taste that you have for knowledge in cognitive bias, because I know there's so much more, and also the resources. So appreciate that. And I'll definitely be attending your talk because I want to learn more at the conference. And that being said, to anybody that's listening to this, I mean, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, I don't know, don't have a cognitive bias against hitting that subscribe button, hit it, because we have many more mission-based. I know I just butchered it, right, Jason? You're like, oh, Adam, that doesn't apply. I know it doesn't. Just work with me here. Just hit the subscribe button was the point for whoever's listening, okay? And Jason, seriously, it's been awesome having on the show, seriously.
Adam, thank you very, very much. I appreciate you taking the time.